This is what Glee does. It's like, haha, we're poking fun at ourselves. And it's like, no, you made a dumb decision. You can't make it a joke now.
You're listening to Glee on the Rocks.
Hello, welcome to the next episode of Glee on the Rocks. I'm Emily.
I'm Bea.
And I'm Allison.
And this is season 5 of Glee on the Rocks. Because we've made it all the way to season 5.
This did not feel like a series opener at all. Which I know it's like a continuation of the last season, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, really? Like, they just kind of plopped you right in the middle. No recap, no...
I mean, it's Glee, so like, why would they do anything to make the show easier on anyone? Why would they bother? This is the opening. This is episode 1 of season 5. With us today is Allison.
Hi.
Who has joined us before. I can't remember what episode you did, but you are also now hosting a new podcast with me called Pack Dynamics, a teen wolf podcast. And there is a reason you are on this episode in particular.
Oh, yeah.
We will get there when we get there, I guess.
Yeah. We will.
But welcome to Glee on the Rocks again.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. It definitely took me a second to be like, you're here for a reason. I'm like, yeah, because my Clayne goggles are on. But no, there's a real reason. There's like an actual reason I'm here for this.
There's an actual particular reason you are on this particular episode.
Yes.
Which I don't know anything about, so I'm excited for that.
Oh, my gosh.
And
you get
can
ready.
I also just say I love the like guest to host pipeline that we have going on.
Yeah.
We will capture you forever.
Oh yeah, we just bring people in. You get a podcast. You know, you start as a guest, then you get a podcast all on your own.
Isn't that how the pulling yourself up by your bootstraps method's supposed to work?
That's right.
You get an unpaid internship and then you get a job.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. You get an unpaid internship. You get an unpaid job. It's great.
And
it's absolutely how America works.
We just get to hang out with our friends.
Yeah,
talk shit about totally. Glee.
Yeah, you just what happens here is you pick a show that you like and then you just talk about it for as many episodes as the show lets you.
Yeah, that tracks. That's what I'm currently doing.
It consumes whatever time you have left in a very busy day.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not mad about it at all. Not at all.
So this is season 5, episode 1, Love, Love, Love.
Don't forget the third one. Very
yeah,
important.
Couldn't forget the third one.
Love three
love,
times.
Love.
Love times three. 10 guesses as to what the podcast episode title is going to be.
Glee, glee, glee.
The IMDb breakdown of this episode is the New Directions takes on their biggest assignment yet, the Beatles. And that's it.
Is it, though? Their Deep biggest side. Assignment?
Their biggest? Is the biggest? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
The ruler with which they measure, like, I mean, you did Michael Jackson, you did Whitney Houston, you've done Britney Spears twice.
Madonna.
And now you're like, the Beatles is the biggest assignment? I don't know.
It also
I mean, I
has
guess
no purpose.
Exactly. I guess it's because really the biggest assignment is like the proposal, but like, why not just put that in the thing?
Yeah. Yes. And I would also, well, I mean, they choose the Beatles because... It's about working together, I guess.
Is that what you said? I couldn't really follow. He was just like, yeah.
I think I was just so thrown off. I think it was Tina who comes in and is like, we haven't done the same product for 2 weeks in a row, and like forever. And I'm sitting here going like, did I miss that? Did you say that we were going to work on a project for 2 weeks in a row?
He didn't, right? No, he didn't. You're right.
I got super caught off guard. Like, oh, did I miss something? Because I have not been watching, I didn't watch the end of season 4 into season 5. So a little bit of a recap for folks who don't know me. I was a Gleek back with Emily and B back in the day.
That's right.
I feel like I've seen bits and pieces of season 5. I've never seen season 6. only what I've absorbed via osmosis. Via osmosis on the internet. And
you can
so,
just say Tumblr.
Mostly Tumblr, but a little bit like Twitter back in the day. But mostly Tumblr.
That's true. Fandom Twitter was had its moment.
It did.
And Glee Twitter definitely had its moments.
So true.
But definitely on my dashboard in Tumblr, just like the very specific claim pieces that would come up on my dash, which we will talk about in this episode for sure.
The important parts.
Yes. Yes, the important parts.
Yeah, they definitely said something about they want to become a show choir dynasty by winning regionals twice. Nationals twice in a row. Like the Beatles.
And so to do that, we're going to do a bunch of songs that have nothing to do with nationals at all.
Yes. They didn't even practice their national songs 2 weeks in a row.
No.
What? No. Why spend 2 weeks on the Beatles?
Literally.
I did love Kitty piping up.
Ugh, the school year seems like it's never ending.
You're right.
You're correct, so right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is what Glee does. It's like, haha, we're poking fun at ourselves. And it's like, no, you made a dumb decision. You can't make it a joke now.
This was bad. This was just too late. Own it.
Own your shit.
Own it.
Yeah. Well, do we want to really start this episode with the way the actual episode starts, which is on Rachel?
We need to because it was so jarring.
It was so jarring.
This episode just straight opens on Rachel walking through New York City to watch the Funny Girl marquee going up on a Broadway theater
for the cleanest New York City I have ever seen in my life.
The cleanest, emptiest, no pedestrian, no cab.
There was no trash on the street.
Not a single rat. Rats are out on the streets. We all know this.
No, of course not. They're in the subway tunnels.
They're in the subway tunnels. Duh.
But like, I'm like watching her go through to the Broadway marquee and I'm like, this isn't even a good pretend New York City. This could not be more of the backlot if you tried.
Which is funny because they do film some of this in New York City.
God, it's like, I can't even begin. I cannot even begin.
I love that they're putting up the marquee without having cast anybody.
Right, because usually marquees definitely don't have the like starring, introducing.
The name.
They never have that. That's never a thing that they do.
Yeah. The show is still auditioning its leads, which are often the first people cast, and then you fill in the...
You build a revival around your leads.
And so, B, you started with like, how much time has passed? Because at the end of the fourth season, she was auditioning. It's now the beginning of the fifth season. She's still auditioning. Why could we not have had a time jump here?
No, I think they decided like no time jump. Like it is directly after season four. Like it is because they're still practicing for nationals. And like, I think the next episode is prom because I watched, you know, it ran over like 5 minutes because it just auto played and they're like talking about prom. So I'm like,
it's 1 year and 2 seasons. Like, what are we doing?
And it's not even 2 whole seasons. It's going to be like a season and a half. So they needed like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going to look at it, but I'm going to guess like 10 max episodes to wrap up all the McKinley stuff.
Yeah.
And so we're doing Teen Wolf, right? And those episodes start and stop just minutes apart sometimes. So one episode ends and then the very next episode starts up sometimes where the dialogue ended in the last episode.
Right.
Where Glee, sometimes you'll get like a week between or 2 weeks. You kind of have no idea where.
Some of the episodes are not really situated in time at all, except for like holidays. I mean, and that's always been Glee's thing is to have a Valentine's episode, a Christmas episode, a Thanksgiving episode, because it sells more songs, duh. And because like that was their whole shtick. And now they've shot it all in the face because it's fall whenever this episode aired, but they are talking about prom, which happens in the spring. So,
and this is a whole season break, right? This was a whole new season. And we're like,
three months later. And it's just like, well, picking right back up.
We're still auditioning for this goddamn show.
It's the chemistry read. Like, so you're telling me that they've, for funny girl, that they've cast your male lead but not your female lead? Really? Right. Really?
Yeah. Oh shit, that's so really? Bad.
Really? Yeah. Interesting.
This is who we care about is this guy?
The writer's room insisted on only writing about stuff they knew nothing about. College right. and Broadway shows. Like this these whole last seasons. Like, right. please, God.
At least we finally saw her auditioning with acting and not just singing.
Yeah.
Because we did complain about that in previous episodes. Like, you know, she has to act in this show, too.
We should probably, like, start the episode and talk about Rachel Berry.
You mean how she, they're concerned, the producers, well, not even the producers, the director and the lead, who has no say in this whatsoever.
Not at all.
Are concerned that she's too young for Fanny Bryce, which, yeah.
Yeah.
She is.
She is.
I don't know why they auditioned her in the first place. We all know they did it because Lea Michele is the lead of Glee. So yeah, that's why. Too young, too green, totally legitimate. Move on to your other people. But her response is to sing Yesterday by the Beatles because she knows that the rest of the New Directions are also going to be singing the Beatles this week.
I was really excited to come into this episode, you guys. I was really excited. I was like, it's Glee. And then I'm immediately struck with the plague that is Rachel Berry. Not season one Rachel Berry. I have love in my heart for season one Rachel Berry. Yes, get out of my way. I got this, Rachel Berry. But like this, ma'am, are you about to tell me that Rachel Berry doesn't immediately get something that she wants? That she, like, and my favorite thing about this is that she's, like, upstairs in her little green room, like, having a very, like, sad moment with herself. And it's, like, she's overhearing them talk about her, right? Which is definitely not something that would happen in real life unless she's a werewolf and has superhuman hearing. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, they think that she's really good, that she's really talented, that she's going to be a star, but that they're just not willing and able to put this entire show on her at this age. She is so young and untested.
Has never even done off-Broadway or off-off.
Like nothing. Nothing since show choir.
Has high school.
She did like high school plays. That's it.
Yeah, she did high school plays. Like, ma'am, you are like 18, 19 years old. This is not the thing that you think it is.
And let us not forget, it's not like Rachel has nothing going for her right now. She just won that like showcase award at NIADA that a freshman has never won or whatever. Right. So
exactly.
It's not like this is her only thing and she's got nothing going for her. Like, girl, you're doing really well in school. You could finish your degree.
Yeah. Go to school. Go to class.
She's been in school for, what, 3 months?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Like, she did her midterm. She did her dance midterm. That's how long she's been in school.
Well, no. It's so technically, like, April or May right now.
It's gotta be, because, like, Kurt's still at NIADA, right?
Who knows?
Kurt's still in school. So Kurt hasn't gone back to school yet.
Right.
So, like, are they on, like summer break? Is this, like, spring break? Maybe.
It's Glee break.
It's Glee, it's Glee break.
They showed a calendar, like, 2 or 3 episodes ago, and it was, like, mid-April. So,
yeah.
Which is, like, also wrong because prom and graduation and all that stuff, like, it's still too much time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But Rachel is, like, ma'am.
I would honestly have loved storylines where she's auditioning for like really terrible off Broadway shows.
I love
that. And like having to slog through 30 seat black box theater productions and like earning her dues.
That's the thing. And that's what Santana will tell her later in the episode. It's like, you got to pay your dues.
Mm-hmm.
And she just like refuses, as she always has refused. I'm Rachel Berry. I'm better than everyone. I don't have to pay my dues, ma'am.
And then, as we know what she does, which is skipping not even that far ahead, but she doesn't even do this. It's spoilering for a couple episodes ahead, but, like, she gets this thing and then drops it. She doesn't even stick to this, her dream.
As I wrote in my notes, Rachel, do not disparage the bright coat. Take that off. You don't deserve it.
It is a very spectacular color.
It's incredible. It's a bright pink coat, and she does not deserve to join the Sisterhood of Bright Pink Coats.
You're right.
Like, ma'am. You're right. Season one, Rachel.
We adore season one, Rachel.
With her weird sweaters and her little collars and her high socks, she could wear a bright pink coat. She's welcome.
She had that bright green coat.
She did. It was awesome.
Yep. Such a shame. There's so many options for Rachel in New York of like having to work and learn and grow like everyone else who goes to New York who isn't rich. And they don't. And everyone else in the cast will come to New York soon. And it's like, I know it's a fantasy, right? Like there's the arguments for Glee is like, but it's a fantasy and you do good things. Like, okay, but it's, the show has had tough storylines. You can have a fantasy and also work for your dream. Like the New Directions have lost before. Rachel can lose something. She doesn't have to be a Broadway star at 19. It's silly.
But it's Glee.
But it's Glee.
Check mark.
Speaking of because it's Glee.
Kitty and Artie.
Mostly my attention in the choir room was pulled to one Blaine Anderson and whatever he was doing with his button-up polo and suspenders. I have a lot of questions, and all of them are for whoever stocks this man's closet, sir.
Who stocks his closet is Oshkosh Bagosh.
He is the poster boy for Oshkosh Bagosh.
I don't know if that company is still in business or if they went out of business after Glee ended, but oof.
I was ensorcelled by his button-up polo and his suspenders.
Do you think Darren Criss went to work every day and was like, well, I guess this is what I have to wear today and look like a baby?
If I had to wear a button-up polo and suspenders, that would be my train of thought.
Like, I don't know how much weed I'd have to take to put that on and feel alive, but I imagine it'd be a lot. To walk out in front of a camera wearing suspenders and a button-up polo and whatever was on his feet.
I don't know.
It's bad.
I feel like Darren just like loves life. So he's probably just like, okay. Wasn't he like playing with the suspenders at one point? Like,
oh yeah.
Popping them? Yeah.
For sure.
And I bet they regret it.
It's also not the worst thing they ever put him in.
No.
Mm-mm.
His outfits were peak this episode, though. Like, they were really lots of bright colors and really ridiculous bows and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they brought back the bow ties.
They did.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the toddlerification of Blaine.
Yeah.
Because it's like he had some really great outfits in season two and into three. And then it's like, I don't know if someone in the costume department heard people online going, I don't know. Some of these are a little weird. And they were like, oh, you want weird?
You want weird.
Oh, you don't like what we're doing? Fuck you. And then just went,
I can fix him. I can make him worse.
100%. Oh, you want to complain? Here you go. Here's every striped outfit in Brooks Brothers.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But
as we go into the choir room, Artie and Kitty, ?
Yes, yes. We have Artie and Kitty as our latest polycule, our, what do we call them? The
blob.
The blob. Who is dating who in the choir room? These two haven't hooked up yet, so now they are. He wants to take her on a real date, either to breadsticks or a carnival.
I mean, because he's, those are 16, 17? Town. Those are real things he can do. He's 17.
Yeah. Small town. Either seem fine. They opt for the carnival, I think, because there's more people for Kitty to hide in.
Maybe.
there does happen to be a carnival in Lima that night. So that's nice. I don't know if this is like a yearly carnival or just a thing that's always there.
Listen, as someone who grew up in one of these small towns, they come, they just show up in a parking lot in a strip mall, like once a year. It's just a random carnival pops up and it's there for only like one weekend and the whole entire town shows up because there's nothing else to do. Like if Marty had been like, if Artie had been like, I'll take you to the mall or like we could go to the movies. That would have been the sum total of everything they can do in this small town.
Oh,
yeah. So
yikes. Well, they sing Drive My Car while dancing around, and the New Directions harmonize because they can't stay out of their date. Is this the best Beatles song they could have done, or is it just because there were bumper cars at the carnival?
It was only because they were bumper cars. That was the sum total of the creative meeting. What Beatles songs could we do? How about Drive My Car? Oh my God, let's do bumper cars.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. It was cute. It was fun. They sound nice together. I was just like, is this the cutest song they could have done? Like, it's all right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we like Kitty and Artie?
I mean, I do, but that's just because I no longer have emotional attachment to any couple in Glee. I understand that everything is ephemeral and nothing matters.
This is fair.
Like, this is a nice thing. It'll go away. Another nice thing will come.
True.
I don't like it because it's the end of the school year. Artie is graduating. I don't like it because Kitty was just dating Puck like a few episodes ago. Like, it's just Glee looking for a storyline. Like, they only have one couple. Two, I guess. They have Kurt and Blaine and they have Marley and Jake. Like, that's all they have.
Are they still together?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. They had a little background moment in this episode. So that's all they have. And Marley and Jake are not that interesting. And Blaine and Kurt have been broken up all this time. So they're like, I don't know. We need to put somebody else together. Running out of ideas.
And they immediately have conflict in that the other Cheerios come and notice.
The new Santana?
New Santana, Brie, plus Neck Brace Cheerio, who I can't remember if this is old Neck Brace Cheerio or if this is a new Neck Brace Cheerio. Who knows?
That only makes sense when you think about Glee. I'm sorry. That was just so ridiculous.
Huh. I wonder, is she the first or second Neck Brace Cheerio?
Version one or version two. Who knows?
Things you'll never hear on any other podcast.
Yeah. But they, Brie, the new bitchy Cheerio, Santana 2.0. 3.0? Because I guess Kitty was Santana 2.0. So this is Santana 3.0.
Yeah.
Or was Kitty Quinn 2.0?
Oh,
and Brie is Santana 2.0. Just putting it out there. Neck Brace Cheerio, Brittany 2.0.
This is a good, yes.
Put them in a trio. Let's see them dance.
Yeah. you're right. This is true. Okay, correct. But Brie comes and asks if Kitty and Artie are going out. And she like just went ahead and posted pictures of them on Instagram, which embarrasses Kitty because she wanted to keep their relationship a secret. Because she wants to keep her status at the school and doesn't want to be seen with Artie, who is in a wheelchair. Because that's where she's still at in her growth pattern in the Glee Club.
Well, because she is a 16-year-old girl and her brain is still made of jello. Like, she talks about needing status to survive at the school. And, like, she's not wrong. They have shown McKinley High to be a place where social status is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
And so not, like, do I agree with her? Like, I don't love her reasoning, but like, I understand where she's coming from.
And not that long ago, she gave someone in the Glee Club an eating disorder. So it's not like, she's not a great person.
No, she's not like the world's best person. But she is trying to protect herself in the way that, you know, when your brain is made of jello that you think is right.
Mm-hmm.
So and, do I love what she's doing? Absolutely not. But like, I can see how they got there.
And knowing Glee, we know this isn't going to last. We know this story arc is going to be over and done in about 37 minutes.
For sure. For sure.
So it's, you get it. And at the same time, you're kind of like, do we have to hurt Artie like this?
Poor Artie.
And then also, if you look back at Artie's history, you're kind of like, but Artie is sometimes a dick.
Yeah. He is.
So there is that. Not that that justifies hurting him at all.
It's
the
blob.
What a web Glee has. It's the blob.
The blob must be stopped.
Is this now the blob 3.0? Well, there's really no blob happening here. This is just Cheerios ruining two people because they suck.
Can we connect them, though? Because Katie dated Puck. Puck dated
Quinn.
I guess Puck and Artie never had the same people they were into until now, right? Tina, right. No. Brittany, Quinn. No. Mercedes, no.
No.
Weird. Different parts of the blob intersecting now.
Yeah. The blob has grown.
It was one part of the blob and the other part of the blob, and now they're connected.
They're connected.
Don't feed the blob.
Feed the blob.
If we think about the blob too much, it'll hear us and it'll
start
to.
Has Ryder actually successfully stayed out of the blob at this point because nobody likes him?
Well, no, because Ryder was in the trio of.
Oh, yeah, no, Morley Ryder, he's in there.
Yeah, that was the blob 3.0.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know if that actually like come to fruition or if he was just hoping real hard.
No, that was Blob 2.0, was Ryder, Jake, and Marley.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. But they haven't expanded yet because they haven't dated other people.
Gotcha. So they're just in their own little nebulous blobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Ryder and Jake haven't made out, but they have pretty good chemistry. It's just unfortunate that the actor who plays Ryder is a piece of garbage.
Correct.
Absolutely.
So it's
garbage.
Hard to be into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's Glee's lasting legacy is womp.
A womp. We've arrived to the courtyard.
Yes. We've arrived at Clayne, which is inarguably the most important part of this episode.
Correct.
I forgot every other detail of this episode besides them, so I clean wiped the rest of it out of my head.
It has been
no clue. Not a clue.
So long since there was an episode that had more than like an iota of Clayne in it, just like a smidgen, just a hint of Clayne.
Right.
And then it was all right here in this episode.
They just mushed it together.
Yeah.
Which should have warned us, right? Should have been a warning about the amount of Clayne that would end up in the rest of the next two seasons.
Yeah.
But this was a delicious episode just to kind of soak up a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. So this is the courtyard of McKinley. Kurt and Blainer are having a picnic. Because that's... Kurt should be in New York. He's not, because this episode has picked right back up where the end of season 4 left off. Blaine should be in school, but he's not. I'm guessing it's their lunch break.
I'm guessing, yeah.
Because everyone else is out in the courtyard. Blaine wants to be boyfriends again so bad. He is giving his spiel about, you know, promising not to cheat on Kurt again, which is... it's fine. Didn't happen. Don't care.
Blaine just has a bunch of like earnest speeches in this episode. That's like this whole thing.
Yeah.
So like, guys, I have a confession to make.
Okay. You have this whole scene memorized.
I in fact found this scene to be deeply unsettling.
Okay, do tell.
Okay, so I have not been indoctrinated in the House of Clayne for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I still am. It's just in a drawer, a card carrying member of Clayne.
Did you not get your button? You didn't get your tenure button?
I did not get my tenure button.
Oh.
I'm very sad. But I remember all these like warm, fuzzy feelings of Clayne, and we will talk about the warm, fuzzy feelings later in the episode. But like, I'm looking at this scene. And I'm feeling a little confused because I remember that they broke up and I remember that they started getting on good terms again. And we were like, okay, cool. And Blaine is just desperate. He's like, I fucked up. I am thirsting. I would very much like to be back in your general orbit. And like, Blaine, through the course of this episode, seems to go from like 0 to 8,000. Just like full tilt. And it's, I think it's the phrase like I won't cheat on you again. And I'm like, whoa there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to talk about it. You're not going to work on it. We're just going to go from like, you slept with somebody else and then like lied to me about it, all the way to like, I love you forever. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. It felt very like, love bomby, a little like abusive relationship to me. And I was like, oh no.
Okay. Well, you did miss some episodes in between. So then
I must have missed some episodes in between because this, this felt like a little much for me and my little heart. It felt a little much.
For me, it's just that the dialogue is bad.
True story, the dialogue is terrible.
I feel like there was a way to write this dialogue with them. Like if a fic writer had gone in here and like massaged the dialogue, it would have been 10 times better. And just like changed some of the words, added some like some nuance, and maybe put in some adjectives with some color and some like just a little something from a fic writer. It wouldn't have felt so clunky.
It did. It felt really clunky. You're right.
Yeah, I think. And I don't know if it's just Kurt and Blaine's dialogue, but a lot of the times these speeches are just like, have you heard two people talk to each other before or no?
Do they like each other? Because I'm not entirely sure I'm getting that here.
Are these men strangers, or is it just that I've read fic dialogue where they're so much better? Is that just that I've read 2 million words of fic where they love each other so much more? Like, is that what's happening here? So I agree that the dialogue sometimes in the show is so much worse than what fandom has created for them, that when you go back to the actual show, you're like, what the fuck are they saying? Even in the proposal, you're like, Blaine, I've heard you do so much better on AO3.
Your words were better. Although I will continue to give, it's Darren, credit for the way that he turned that around. It's very Princess Diaries 2 of him.
It's because he has the eyes of a Harper seal.
Incredible.
So specific and it's so true.
Yes. But like,
we've all stared into them. We know.
I'm reading my notes and like, Blaine, you don't get to justify cheating on Kurt. Like, you don't get to justify it. You made a choice.
I mean, maybe Lighthouse was real hot. I don't know.
Maybe Lighthouse was real hot. But like,
I never saw his face.
It was a Lighthouse. It was Sebastian. It's Sebastian. It's just Sebastian. Just let it happen.
In my heart, it was Sebastian.
In my heart, it was Sebastian. God, the things they could have done if it had been Sebastian.
I know. Terrible.
We'll talk about him later.
On our bonus episode where we rewrite the entire series with Sebastian. Sorry for everyone who hates him, but this is the wrong show for you.
Also, Blaine compares them to
to
Will and Jada, and I was like, is this the comparison that you want to make right now, sir?
I don't know who I texted, but I was like,
I know Emily texted me. Will and Jada. Me. You're like, oh my god, the Will and Jada line.
Oh no,
I cringed, bodily cringed when I heard it.
I was like, I don't think that means the same thing anymore, my dudes.
I was like, are we breaking the third? Like, what's happening?
This is why they don't want to bring Glee back, because it's the context, you know, like you lose the context and it's no good anymore.
Yeah.
One thing I want to bring up about this scene, all thoughts are valid.
Thank you for validating my thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, you did miss some things that happened, you know, since the cheating. There have been several scenes in between. But I will say it felt like Kurt was like teasing Blaine a little bit. Like he was kind of giving him a hard time on purpose just to like fuck with him a little bit because I think it has become pretty clear that Kurt does want to get back together, but he obviously doesn't want to be hurt again. Right, so he's just like, you know, he's still got to guard up a little bit, but I think it felt genuine to me, like them getting back together, even though the dialogue was cringy. And I think that's just the strength of like Chris and Darren's acting abilities. Like that is why Clayne is so iconic. It's not because they're super well-written or amazing characters as much as it is that they are just portrayed really well. So,
yes. And I liked the slight turn in this scene where Kurt stops Blaine from singing to him for once. I liked that a lot. I really enjoyed that. Although it does mean that they both came prepared with songs.
Yes. I wonder what Blaine's song would have been.
Well, it kind of seems like they both were prepared for God to Get You Into My Life.
I guess. I will say, I cannot believe how much I missed Darren's voice.
Yeah.
Like just getting to hear him sing, and I was like, oh, yes, that's what I missed. But no, Kurt was looking absolutely adorable in this whole scene, and it was it's really cute. It's a super cute scene. And I didn't have to listen to the dialogue.
I do remember, I think at the time, 10 years ago, it wasn't called discourse, but at the time there were comments and complaints that like, how come Kurt never performs for Blaine?
Right.
And like, that's true. I don't know. Right? I remember there being like, how come it's always Blaine performing for Kurt? It's Teenage Dream. It's all the Christmas songs. It's all these other, like, how come it's never reciprocated? Like, here we go. Here's Kurt, has been hurt, right? He's been hurt in this situation, kind of standing up and saying, all right, let's do this. Then I suddenly see you. And of course, Blaine can't like fucking just sit there and take it. He has to get up and perform and jump on tables as well. But, you know,
always does. Yes.
I loved the arrangement too, the marching band. It was so fun.
Yes. This is also the reason Allison is on this episode.
Just imagine me waving at you right now.
So we live together in Los Angeles. And when we picked an apartment, we picked an apartment based on cost.
And it's super cute yellow kitchen.
Yes, and a super cute yellow kitchen. And this apartment happened to be, two blocks from a high school? Less than 2 blocks from a high school. And it took not that long. I don't remember how long it took. Turns out that the high school, our apartment was a block and a half from, was the shooting location, one of the shooting locations for McKinley High.
So all of the football field scenes was our football field. All of the courtyard scenes were our courtyard. They closed down our block a number of times to shoot.
There's nothing like coming home to a piece of paper on your door saying that Glee was about to film and you couldn't drive down your street at a certain time.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Like, whatever.
Cool. Thanks. This is my parking spot, but like, that's chill.
So the entire reason I'm here is that Emily and I accidentally stumbled into this scene while it was being filmed.
What? Yep.
So we had gone on errands, like down to Home Depot or something. We walk home and because they're
hearing like bags of shit.
Yeah. We're like, whatever, it's fine. And so we're like walking home and there's all this like shooting equipment. And we're like, oh, cool. So they're probably shooting something in the courtyard. Like, what's going on? So we climb up the steps of this friggin' school where the big front gates are. And we look out into the courtyard and see this entire scene set up.
Oh, my God.
And are watching Chris and Darren like act. So we actually got stumbled upon this scene being shot while it was being shot.
I don't remember what they used to call, because it didn't say Glee.
No, it was something else.
Notice it had like a code name, which I don't remember anymore.
They all do.
All shows, movies, etc., have code names when they put up filming notices, so that like paparazzi and shit don't know what they're doing. So I don't remember what Glee's code name was anymore. But because of our location, a bunch of the stores were nearby, so we just like walked to get stuff sometimes, so you didn't have to like get in your car and sit at the light for forever. So we were walking back, and you could like you'd hear like the music playing. She's like, oh, they're doing something.
They're doing something. Just, all right.
And they don't really, at the time, they wouldn't stop you from watching some of the filming as long as you weren't in the way.
Yeah.
And the kids who went to that school, they didn't like kick them out of school. Like school was actively going on in the classrooms. So they could just like, so much of the filming that ended up on Twitter and stuff were from students in the school who were just like looking out of their windows and like filming with their cell phones down into the courtyard, which is how like behind the scenes filming would happen of like Chris and Darren making out.
I was about to say, I remember like, getting the picture of the kiss and being like, yes. Oh my God. Yeah,
That's coming from students up because the courtyard is like down below. And there was this really tall kind of like concrete staircase that kind of looked like a prison. Remember that, Allison? Mm-hmm. Like
a little bit.
So like that outside staircase that went up the building, all those students are still trying to like go to class.
Yeah. They're all sitting in chemistry like,
Yeah. Like this, because they're, you know, the playback is happening over and over and over. And there's all this camera equipment and it's probably hard to get in and out of your school. But that's where all that behind the scenes filming was coming from, were the students kind of like leaning out, taking pictures down into the courtyard. But yeah, we just stood there for a little while watching.
For a little while. And we were like, yeah. Oh, so I guess Kurt and Blaine are doing stuff again.
Yeah. So like, oh, I guess they're getting back together. All right. Yeah. It was also hot as shit though. So you're like,
oh my God. Yeah, it was.
It is fucking hot.
Yeah, it was for sure.
Chris was like sweating through his shirt. I remember those pictures.
I realized
these pictures of this scene, as we all did.
I mean, we were watching it just like, hell yeah.
It's like, oh yeah,
they're back, baby.
They're back. And like we were just so excited the whole day.
Oh yeah.
It was incredible because we were
it was also really nice that other people were posting pictures, because then you didn't have to like pretend you didn't know something because everyone else was spoiling that they were back together. Like you were like,
it's one of those things that you have to like, we talk about being like a good digital citizen, but like being a good fandom citizen, it's like, I'm not, if they don't want this stuff out, I'm not gonna put it out.
Yeah,
but also why do they film so many things outdoors? If they want it to be a secret, why film it outdoors? You could have filmed it on a sound.
If they want it to be a secret, why film it outdoors? Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and like you remember, was it season one where they're, I mean, it's very well known, but there was like football scenes out in that football, that football yard. The football yard. Wow. The football field. And you can see palm trees in the background because they're
in the background. For sure.
Like that's that same football. They use the same location all the time. It's just funny. It's like, oh yeah, that's our football field. That was it was a fun location. Kind of annoying sometimes, right? Where you're like,
yeah.
Like I can't walk down the block because there's shit, but
there's stuff happening. But no, that's our little happy fun story about this episode, is that, you know, months before it debuted, we accidentally stumbled into filming the courtyard scene. Yeah.
Trying to carry stuff back from the store.
Yep. That is absolutely bananas. And I never knew that you guys lived so close to quote unquote.
Oh yeah.
High. Wow.
We did. Super.
It was not on the application for the apartment.
No. Although it would have been a selling point.
Happy accident.
For some people, it probably would have been a selling point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having a car nearly crash into the building, not so much, but, no. You know, separate story.
Is that related to Glee? Oh, okay.
No, not at all.
No, it's related to the apartment. Although, related to Glee, there was a burger joint not horribly far from there where we used to go, and so it was right next door to Astro Burger, where Paramount parked all their giant vehicles, like their set vehicles. And so all of the buses for Glee, like all the New York City buses that they use for Glee, got parked in that lot.
You're just out there having some Greek fries and like, oh, there's the fake New York City bus for Glee.
It's like, wow. It's like, hey, New York City Metro, like, how you doing? It was pretty
great. Los Angeles is fucking wild. That I don't recommend it for anybody, but
it's wild.
Like, visit, but don't live there. It's bad.
No, don't do that. But it's real fun.
Yeah.
So we give thanks to fandom for letting us be present on the day of Clayne's reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. It felt like a treat for being in fandom for so long. It was like, here's a little sprinkle bonus.
Yeah. A little sprinkle.
Universe. Three of them.
Yeah. And I do remember, like, that so at the end of the courtyard scene, they, like, jump up on the table and kiss. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think we ended up watching, like, a whole filming of that. I think we saw it. Mm-hmm. And yeah. One of the things that I remember is, like, how tight, I think it's, hold on, I'm trying to I'm playing Barbies in my head. So I think Kurt goes up and Blaine goes down with the hands. Mm-hmm. It was how tight Darren had a hold of Chris.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like you could see it from the court, like from where our spot out of the courtyard, you know, they get together and it's like, hello.
You could watch a whole body move as an arm comes in. You're like, whoa, buddy.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. But, and also, please don't fall off that table.
Yeah, please don't fall off that table. It is not a very big table.
Yeah, it's not a big table. Is it bolted to the ground?
So, yeah, it was just such a wonderful little treat for, you know, yeah, like Emily said, for being in service. It was a little reward, a little sprinkle of joy.
Yeah, it was nice.
So
it was good times.
It was good times. But yeah, no, B, that's your trivia for the day.
My mind is blown. I'm shook.
Aw.
Your Glevia. No, I don't like that.
No, hard pass.
I didn't like that one. Sorry.
No.
Well, now I hate to go back to the episode, but there's
I do not more. Because it's the answer to my prayer, Sue Sylvester.
Sue.
Principal Sue Sylvester. Angel. Incredible. An icon, a legend.
I don't hate Principal Sue. No. I don't love planting incriminating evidence once again as a plot point.
Yeah. And it's a lot of evidence.
They go back to that a lot, don't they?
They really do. Principal Figgins is now Janitor Figgins. I don't love that for a person of color. But I do love Principal Sue. Maybe he could have been Vice Principal Figgins.
Yeah,
Vice principals, right?
Yeah.
That's how schools work. It's been a while for me.
Yeah, they have vice principals.
Yeah.
If he was under investigation, he would not be allowed to still work at the school. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely not.
He didn't even try.
I know. Sometimes I'm just like, I fucking love this show. They're so stupid.
They're so stupid.
As far as it being played for laughs, it was fucking funny because Sue was planting everything. It was like, what was it? Like, certificate porn. Of polyamorous marriage, three different types of porn. It was gay foot fetish porn. Did you see the title of it? Was Manny Petty.
Oh,
yeah,
Manny Petty is so good.
That's fantastic.
It was like an agreement for fracking at the school.
Yes. What's so like mind-boggling is they put that kind of detail into like half a second shots.
Yeah,
like, Manny Petty for the porn, immaculate. The rest of the plot lines, bogus. What happened? Where's the disconnect? Rachel is going to be a Broadway star at 19 or 20, but Principal Figgins' porn is the funniest thing on the show. What the fuck?
I think it's the difference between the writing and the set deck, honestly.
There's something that happens every time. Aggravating. Because, like, that shit is hilarious. And then the actual plot, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. The props people, the set decorators, incredible. Writers, hit or miss. Hit or miss. Yeah.
So, anyway, we do find out that Becky gets 1 month suspension for bringing a gun to school. So there's that. Her Becretary, which was kind of funny.
The Becretary. I need an assistant. And the only requirement is that her name is Rebecca. That's her only requirement. I want a Becretary.
Yep. Well, we'll see what Principal Sue gets up to. And we find out, we'll keep on this storyline, is that Will Schuster, who is somewhat in this episode, but not really, that's how I like him, and Coach Roz are worried about their jobs with Sue as principal because they've got like a whole love-hate relationship going on. You know that I ship Sue and Shu at this point because like frenemies.
Right.
But it turns out that she wants all of the teams of McKinley to be champions. So she needs Shu and Coach Roz to like get their teams in shape to become champions.
That feels like a very Principal Sylvester way to do things.
Yep. Because she doesn't want shitty teams at her school.
No.
She didn't care when she was a coach to have other shitty teams.
She liked, I think, being the only one with a great team. Like, she was like, y'all all suck. And now. Right.
But now that she's principal, she needs all the teams to be champion. It keeps, I guess this is how you keep the adults in the show.
Right.
If you must keep the adults in the show, which, sure. They have contracts, too.
Yeah, I guess. It's fine.
It's fine. Do we want to keep, before we go back to New York, do we want to keep on Artie and Kitty? Kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, let's wrap that up.
wrap these two lovebirds
wrap
up.
Wrap it up.
So they are off singing You've Gotta Hide Your Love Away, which is a correct song for them.
Hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away. Oh, hey.
Because they are sneaking around the school for little makeout sessions. They do this until Tina notices that Artie is sneaking around because Tina can't handle not being in everybody's business.
Yes.
Tina just really wants to be the center of the blob. And you know what? That's apparently a valid life choice. I understand.
Yeah. So, you know, they're sneaking around. They don't want people. Well, Kitty doesn't want people to know about their relationship. But, you know, back in the Glee Club. Tina, you know, is talking about how the early Beatles were looking out for each other. So she just straight up tells everybody else that Kitty and Artie are dating and that Tina is forcing Artie to hide it because that's definitely her business to tell people.
Deep sigh.
Tina Cohen, agitator.
What is it with women just like taking over Artie's decisions and like interrupting his autonomy? Like Kitty went to his mom to be like, he got into film school and now Tina's telling the whole Glee Club like he's dated Kitty in secret. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Is it,
why is this,
I don't know,
going twice?
Brittany was kind of like that too though. I don't know if it's because the character is in a wheelchair so people just kind of take over decision making for him because they think somehow he's incapable. I don't know what's going on with Artie.
I have no idea.
It's not cool, though.
No.
And I guess rightfully, but kind of annoyingly, because this happens to Tina's character all the time, the other boys of Glee are worried that Tina is becoming a mean, angry, bitter person, and they want to, like, step in and help her, as she is the only remaining member of the Too Young to Be Bitter Club, which is kind of funny, but also, like, can't a teenage girl be single in this TV show? Apparently not.
No.
No.
Which is actually really shitty on this show. Like, nobody is single ever. But the way they are going to help Tina is to sing I Saw Her Standing There dressed up like the early Beatles.
And then offer to take her to prom.
Yes. Instead of just like, I don't know, being her friend and having friend dates and doing stuff together, like the carnival, like go to the carnival with her. Apparently it's still there. Together.
Invite her places.
Yeah.
Talk to her.
Unfortunately, the Glee Club now only communicates in grand gestures. There's no like normal communication anymore.
No.
Like what about study dates? Do these kids not study together?
Did they not practice for regionals and or nationals?
Oh God, no. We know that.
No, they choreograph it in the hotel room the night before.
Correct.
As they're writing the original song for that show.
Oh my God.
Now, Tina picks Sam as her prom date, who is the least gay and the least Asian.
And she's looking to change her patterns.
Kind of funny.
Again, meta.
I need to fully unpack that because Blaine is the only one who is canonically gay and genetically Asian. So what yes. about the other three?
Well,
what
I think
is
it's because
individual
I think
scale
it's
of gay and Asian.
Because Jake's out of the running. Because Jake's going with Marley.
I mean, that's true. But he said it as like, oh, we're the only one single. But you're right. He was wrong.
Yeah, well, because Jake's out of the running. So he's just out of the running. And I'm gonna take a big stretch here. You guys ready? Big stretch, like the kitty cats. Big stretch. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've come to the conclusion of the writer catfishing storyline. Yes,
right. We yes. have.
So we and who was that catfish?
Unique.
So I'm gonna go ahead and take a big stretch and say that in Tina's head, in this moment, Ryder is just a little gayer than Sam because makes Ryder sense. Was involved in some way, shape, or form with Unique.
Potentially.
Okay. I think that's the stretchy train of thought that the writers were going on. I think.
But on
I
also...
don't it doesn't work for me, but I if I'm gonna find like something in there, that's what it is.
Have we also discussed, and maybe I'm sure this is a conversation that's been had over fandom for the last 10 years, and I just don't know that we've done it on this show. Is Blaine canonically Asian in the show? Or is he white in the show? Have we?
They've never said.
Does he get parents?
They show his mom in season 6 and she is not Asian.
She is white.
So that's all we know.
Because is she also referring to Blaine as
Asian?
This is why I needed to unpack this because I was like, wait.
Well, in my head, Blaine's mom is Leah Salonga. So
they fumbled that so hard.
They fumbled that. That was an easy layup there, coach.
Why does Glee do this?
I don't know.
Least gay and least, this should not be like a mathematical problem.
I'm gonna think about this for a long time.
Yeah,
a long time.
I mean, this doesn't bother me quite as much as the line from Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh,
of the Chris and Darren line, uh-huh. But it's up there.
Be nice.
Chris, Darren?
Darren Aronofsky, Christopher Nolan. I'll never forget it.
One day someone needs to meet her and be like, brain. What does this line mean?
Just bounce it mean? Around in my skull.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Just torture.
What do you mean? Someone call the writers. Someone get Brad Falchuk on the line. He's credited as the writer for this episode.
Sir. Sir.
Oh, God, there were other writers, Brad. But someone get fucking Brad on the line.
Five questions, Brad. Sir.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave them behind because this is already going to be like a 9-hour episode. So,
my bad. Sorry, guys.
No. I mean, these things bother us, but we can't solve it.
No.
Least gay and least Asian. No, I can't think about this.
No.
Yeah. Okay. We obviously have to save the whole Blaine proposal for the end because, of like, course. Duh. So I think we need to go to the Spotlight Diner situation. Yes. Okay. So Rachel and Santana are talking. It's a terrible way to segue into this. They're talking.
Santana works
at the Spotlight Diner. Also, my brain got stuck on a note that I had earlier where the bus that they're on is just not crowded enough for a New York City bus.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I was stuck on that. I was like,
if you don't have to physically fight someone to get off the bus, you're doing it wrong.
I was like, wait, they just got off? They didn't have to like elbow people out of the way?
Shove.
So Santana gets Rachel a job at the Spotlight Diner. I'm guessing without an interview, without any prior waitressing skills. She also just starts in the middle of a shift. Mm-hmm. I've never had a waitressing job because I can't. I know myself enough to know that that was not going to work. I did work as a barista, which is not the same, but shout out to everyone who has ever had to work a waiter slash waitressing position, because god damn. So I just felt like some of the scene was a little disrespectful to waiting job, the waitressing profession, of how Rachel treated it personally. Because I think she just, like
with all other things, Rachel was just like, oh yeah, I'm perfect at this. I don't even have to try. They're well, gonna love me.
Even just the show. Like, she just walks in and just like, what, picks up a plate? Like, what are you even?
She's already fully in uniform.
Yeah, what are you
the
doing?
Uniform part, I was like, and he's like, is this the girl you told us about? What? Like, at the very least, she came by and like had a 15-minute one-on-one with the manager. Like, you don't just walk in with the uniform on and start working.
That's like, did you do any paperwork? Like, is that your section? Or did you just take someone's table? Like, what is happening here? So obviously the actor and the director from Funny Girl are at this diner, which is a place where the waiters and wait staff also sing and perform. This is based off a real diner in Times Square, which I have not gone to, but I have walked past the line for. I think this would irritate the shit out of me to eat at, but, you know, it's a place where people who want to be performers work at because you can practice. I think it's, what is it actually called? The Starlight? I think it's called the Starlight.
Yes.
But yeah. So we talked about this in the earlier, did we talk about this before we started? Everyone thinks they're gonna be a fucking star, Rachel. Like, she has this whole thing about she's gonna be a star and all this kind of nonsense. Like,
She's working and then all of a sudden, like, the casting guy is there, like, at the diner.
Yeah. And
she just stops working.
And I'm just like, Carlisle, what are you doing here? Like, why is Carlisle Cullen and
Carlisle
the casting director? And she's like, I'll handle this one. And like, toss goes and brings in their food. And she's like, yeah, I'm here. And it's weird. And that's fine because you can have your opinions, but they're like, you're going to be a star. She's like, yeah, I'm a star. That's like legit how the conversation went. And I was like, their whole thing is that you're too young and you're acting like you're five. Okay, yes, right.
Exactly.
This is season one Rachel without any of the good stuff.
Yeah. Like, no character development in this moment. And then to show them what a star she is, does she pull out Defying Gravity? Does she pull out something amazing? A song from Funny Girl? No. It's Hard Day's
Night.
Anything
in her range.
By the Beatles.
Nothing. Not even in her range.
I had to fucking laugh. I know it's the Beatles week, but oh my fucking god.
I hated this whole scene so much.
There's only one, for me, there was only one good thing about this scene, and it was Santana Lopez.
Santana.
Absolutely.
I thought it would have been so fucking funny if they noticed one of the other performers and been like, you know what? You would have been a really great funny girl.
Yes. Yes.
Actually.
Actually, you know what?
You know what? Demi Lovato, who's still in the waitressing somewhere, like, right. Yes,
she's
you
just
would have
out
been
of frame.
Great.
If I had to listen to fucking Lea Michele sing "Dog" one more time, I was going to off myself. It was so bad. There's no "Y" in "Dog," Lea Michele.
No.
Yeah. No, there's not.
I hated it.
And
she's been on her shift for like 15 minutes. You have to serve people first.
Yeah. I really appreciate how she took them there. Like, she watches them walk in.
Yes.
And then just like sets their food on the table. Like, did they call that order in advance? Did somebody else take that order? Do you just have like an open system? Like,
she brought someone else's burger to these people. Someone who's probably been waiting 45 fucking minutes.
Did you order that, sir?
Fucking list of things the Glee writers know nothing about. Serving restaurants.
Restaurants. Food service.
And then they leave. Then they just leave their shift. They just walk out. What does that say about her ability to do 8 shows a week?
No, hard pass, Rachel Berry, hard pass.
She can't even finish one show.
My personal favorite at the end of this, like, because, like, eventually Santana, like, finds her in the little dancing crowd, and, like, the two of them have some chemistry, the problem when your actors have chemistry. And, like, at the end of it, they end up, like, together on the, like, on the little banquette, and I'm just like, cool, now kiss.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah,
for anytime. Sure.
Because they've got, like, such, like, sweet, cute, flirty, hoppy chemistry, and I'm like, adorable, now kiss. Let's go.
Rachel's life might have been a lot better if she had someone of Santana's caliber, like, keeping her together.
Correct.
Not that I want Santana to have to work that hard for a partner, because
she shouldn't have to babysit Rachel Berry, but, like...
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Ugh, Santana. But yeah, this whole scene just... Jesus Christ. Like, I remembered I didn't like it, and then when it started, I was like, I can't handle this shit.
No.
And it was such foreshadowing, and I don't know that they intended this, but it was such great foreshadowing for how she treats her time at Funny Girl.
Ugh.
It's like, you can't even do one shift at a diner. Horrendous.
Do y'all think by the end of that they were convinced at all? Like,
if they were, they're the worst Broadway people ever.
Right?
Like, you should not be running a Broadway show if they were like, that's my girl. That's our star.
That's my star.
I don't
She's
remember
got the chops.
The rest of the season, but I'm like, surely that can't be the thing that did it, that got them to cast her, right? Like, this is not the end of the storyline. It can't be, right? Hard Jeez. Day's night in the Stardust Diner. I don't know.
I don't remember, because this is where Glee starts to become a blur of... Honestly, my next memory of season 5, I think, is Roar.
Oh.
And I think that's just because I'm so offended of their costumes.
That's the one where Artie swings in on a vine. Fun.
Yes. And then I think after that, it's the What Does the Fox Say? Again, these are just bad memories. They've eaten out the good memories.
I don't even think I've seen these. I've heard them on the, like, Glee playlist.
I've heard tell of such nonsense.
I've heard legend. I think the only, like, solid Glee memory I have from here on out, there was a gift set of Rachel in a bathtub.
What?
Doing something. Oh, maybe it was from season 6, like, on the phone with somebody. And then something about Kurt and Blaine on an escalator.
Yeah, okay, well...
An escalator? You mean an elevator?
I think it was an escalator.
No, it was an elevator.
Are you sure? I promise it's an elevator.
It's an elevator. They've never been on an escalator.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure it's an escalator.
Are they kissing?
No, they were just being people walking off an escalator. Was that Christian Darren?
No, you're right. No. They come up an escalator in New York. I know what you're talking about. Yes.
I have no idea where these
are from. A
lot
of that was probably behind the scenes. Probably behind the scenes, but
how
yes, I know what you're talking about.
That they had both an escalator and an elevator scene. Oh my god.
They're moving on
god.
Up.
Me and Emily are here like, what the fuck are you talking about, Allison? It's an elevator. Oh my god, yes.
I mean,
it is an elevator, but that I remember. I remember. You don't just casually hook up with your ex-boyfriend at your friend's wedding for no reason and don't remember that. Like,
it's true.
Yikes.
I'm leaving all of that in.
Frat boy, hot, whatever he says. I forget.
Whatever, it's fine.
Dirty hot. Or no, that was dirty cute.
I know he says your fey boy tag. Anyways, whatever.
Oh my god, that's right.
Incredible.
Love it when you talk fratty something. I don't know.
I love it. Oh god.
That was it.
This show.
Oh, I love those two.
And this is why I loved Klain.
These gays.
This camaraderie and these gays.
We were bonded, but like our...
This is a trauma bond.
It is. We were tested in the fires of this fucking fandom.
What's the line? Is it a Batman? Like, you were... I was born in the dark.
Yes.
That's how I feel. Like, other, you know, new shows that come out with their stupid little ships, like, you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know. You don't know what it's like.
And as much, you know, I got to put my Teen Wolf hat on always. It's like, as much as I am as a fan of Steric and as much as I have been for some time, like, I was not forged in the fires of Steric. I was forged in the fires of Klaine.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
It was built of Klaine.
Let's actually, like, finish this episode. Let's do that. Because we haven't even gotten to the proposal, and that's the most important part. Now
we haven't even gotten to Blaine saying he's going to propose.
So to rewind a little bit into the plot here, Blaine feels the need to remind the Glee Club that he and Kurt are together, and that he's going to propose to Kurt at the ripe old age of, let's be generous, 18. I was gonna say, I loved Sam trying to hype him up.
Sam, yes, that was one of my favorite
literally
lines.
All caps. I have, like, the return of Blam. I missed Sam and Blaine. I missed Sam being a bro. I missed this.
I love them as bros.
So there have been a couple of episodes where Blaine's, like, been leading up to proposing, and he, like, went ring shopping and Sam was there. He also asked Bert for Kurt's hand, but Bert was like, I'm not going to give you permission because y'all are too young. So the stage has
this
been
set. This
didn't
come out of nowhere, right?
Exactly. The stage has been
okay,
set.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, because, like, my notes are like, sir.
Yeah, this is like the second or third episode talking about proposing, I think, or maybe more than three. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. So he's been, not that this is a great idea, but at least he's been thinking about it for some
time.
Not
this isn't a good idea, but he keeps getting advice from people who are like, when you know, and
yeah,
you know, yeah. So he's like, I'm going to do it.
All right. So that,
everyone's
that
like,
at least
no.
takes a little
he's like,
concern away. All right.
Chaos.
Yeah,
King.
Absolutely. Everyone has said no. And he's like, yes. Blaine, yes.
Blaine, yes. And so he decides to propose. He needs to have not only the McKinley Glee Club, but Vocal Adrenaline, the Warblers, and the Haverford School of the Deaf all perform.
Okay. For reasons. Instead of making it like a nice personal
he's
boyfriend to boyfriend.
He's got
to
make a gesture.
Gestures. That's all they communicated.
That's what... They re-boyfriended in the courtyard with two bands, and now they're going to get engaged with, I don't know, 40
Four Glee Clubs.
Four Glee Clubs, yeah.
Okay, guys, and I think this is my problem.
You don't know that many people?
No. We went from Somewhere Only We Know to Gotta Get You Into My Life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're going from Don't Forget Your Jacket, New Kid, to whatever the hell this was. I want to be so supportive, but it just feels like a downgrade.
I'm just going to tell you up front, I ugly cried rewatching this. So, like, we can be at two ends of the spectrum. I ugly cried. I did not expect that. Ugly cried. Like,
I did not
really
ugly cry, but I did have a full circle, like, fandom moment.
Yeah.
About this, because, like, we'll talk about the fandom implications, we will, but, like, yes, I also had those feelings.
Yeah,
but it wasn't until Blaine started talking that I got into the feelings.
Oh yeah, for sure, because he grand gesture, right? You got the four Glee Clubs, and he did practice his speech, though. Like, you can't say it wasn't heartfelt. That bitch, he just That's kept true. Talking. I thought it was over like three times, and he just kept going. I was like, oh. So he really put a lot of thought into it.
He did.
And before that, he has to go ask everybody for their help. So he sings help naturally.
Help. That's fact.
And there's your Blam for you, Allison. Like, just running through the halls of every school.
The
serenading.
Blaine and Sam at Dalton.
Yes.
How is this not an AU I've never read before? Like, incredible. Iconic.
It was amazing.
Legendary. I didn't even know I needed it, but it made me so happy to see.
The camera work in this episode was actually really good.
Yes, it was.
And very creative. And I loved how they came into Dalton and then you saw that there were like three Warblers in the phone booth. And then
yes.
It was just so cute. Like,
so cute. And then we get Sebastian. Hello, Sebastian.
Yeah.
He's back, bitch.
He is back and he's supporting his boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, current boyfriend, new husband, Blaine.
Soon to be polycule.
Soon to be throuple. It's a throuple. It's a throuple. It's official.
I did love him just stepping in and be like,
Trent, we said I'd do the talking.
Like, I'm here to bless this union.
I'm here to bless this union. Literally, we talk about this in Pact Dynamics all the time. It's like Blaine's got two hands.
Yes.
Sebastian and Kurt. And Kurt and Sebastian. And we all are holding hands. This is fine.
Yeah. He doesn't have to choose. And they had a nice big hug. I really liked it. I did not like Sebastian's haircut.
No.
But you know,
whatever that was. Ugh.
Grant had things to do, I guess, that day.
I guess.
But question, though, did they give an explanation for Sebastian coming back? Because, like, Hunter was there, and then they got, you know, in trouble for the juicing, and now Sebastian's just back? He had been gone, right? Or was he never gone, and I'm just remembering wrong?
No, he was, I think Sebastian being gone was only dependent on Grant's filming schedule.
Right. He was just kind of like randomly absent.
So I think we were just kind of assuming he was in the background bebopping.
Okay.
But not
juicing, gone. Question mark.
Yeah. I mean, given the size of him, I don't think he was ever juicing.
No, that's also true.
He's okay. A bit
just didn't know if I missed something. I don't care. He's back. So I'm happy about it. He was real cute.
Sebastian's back, baby. And then gone again because that was all that scene was. And then we, you know, move ahead in time to the end of the episode, which is, of course, the not so surprising surprise proposal that Kurt knows he is on the way to because he is dressed up in matching attire.
And I'm
Bert is supposedly he's in the car with his dad. And B, this is where I start to cry.
Yeah.
About these two having an actual like emotional conversation, because men being vulnerable with each other and emotionally supporting each other gives me just warm fuzzies everywhere. And so, you know, the originator of the Bert Hummel Best Father Award, Bert Hummel, is like talking to Kurt about his lived experience about, you know, no, this is dumb and stupid and it's gonna suck and I would 100% do it if I were you.
Yeah.
I would give anything for 10 more minutes with her next to me. And I'm just like weeping. And then the Bert Hummel moment that made me continue to cry was, quote,
but giving you a choice means you gotta make one.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, sir, I did not mean to go to therapy today. My appointment was rescheduled. What are we doing?
He's so winning at parenthood, like every time, every conversation, just winning.
Every single time.
I know.
And, okay, so does somebody else write Bert Hummel's dialogue?
That's a good fucking question. Is Mike O'Malley just ad-libbing? Is this why?
Exactly. It's Mike O'Malley.
Does Mike O'Malley, because he's also a writer, you know, he writes TV, he writes plays. Does he just come with his own dialogue? He's like, no, I got this. Honestly, I don't trust you fucks. Like, I'm just going to do my own.
He probably consults on Bert.
Because Bert's dialogue is so heartfelt and so specific to his character.
Yes.
Where sometimes the other Glee club, you could like interchange their words and be like, yeah, okay, writer would say that. Tina would say that. Like, yeah, whatever. Blaine and Kurt sometimes are much more specific, I think, because they've been around so long.
Right.
And maybe Chris and Darren get in there sometimes because they both seem like the kind of people who would. Not bad, right? Like, just they care.
Right.
But Bert is so specific to Bert in that dad way.
Right.
That, like, he's got to be in there doing something. And I appreciate that because...
Yes.
He gets you every time.
He got me for sure.
And then he was wearing the rainbow pin that Bert gave, you know, that Blaine gave him. Oh, Bert was wearing the rainbow pin that Blaine gave him. Yeah.
Proud Papa. Emo.
So emo. So emo.
So B, I'm gonna need you to like take us through this because I need to know the play by play of your ugly cry.
Okay, so so Kurt is like
Allison's like, because Emily wasn't crying.
Yeah. You know, it was an educated guess. We still love you, Emily, but you're, you know, not a crier. And that's okay. We need all kinds. Listen, okay, for context, I literally posted about the Clayne engagement, like a still of it, on my Facebook page and like made it my profile picture for a hot minute. Like, that's how excited I was about this when it happened the first time. Okay. So, and I've not really watched it since. I've seen GIFs, but I have not like watched the full scene, like really since I sat down and watched it the first time and like saw it on my dash probably back then, but it's been years. And so, like, Kurt is like conflicted in the car, right? And like Bert's like, all you gotta say is yes, no, or maybe. And then Kurt's like, is there another option? And then it's like the band starts with the horns, burr, 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 burr. And then like Blaine comes out in this blue, this bright yellow suit, and Kurt's in his bright blue suit. They are complementary colors on the color wheel, and he starts leading Kurt through Dalton. And like he comes in and he's got Rachel and Santana and Mercedes are there. Hashtag Blaine is a rich kid. He flew these people in for this proposal. That was so sweet. And then it's just like Dalton has turned into this carnival of people dancing and singing and hugging and loving. And I started to get emotional because like the music is swelling and like they're showing all the different important places in Dalton. They like show the hallway that they ran down and stuff. And then like they get Kurt at the top of the stairway and you see the iconic shot of like up the like big, beautiful ornate, skylight. And then they pan down and I just immediately the tears, like I was just like, oh my God, they were here. And then, and then all this stuff has happened and now they're back and there's all these people here and this song is so beautiful. And Kurt's walking down the stairs and the song starts going, he loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Blaine's fucking Harbor Seal eyes are turned up to 12 and you're just like, oh my God, like everybody behind him is like smiling their fucking faces off. There's rose petals coming down.
And Bert is also singing.
Bert is there singing. Exactly. Bert came in and his shoes there for some reason. I don't know. And it's just like all these just beautiful, like surrounding love moment. Like all these people are here. And like you can tell Kurt is like overwhelmed. Like every single place that he was like looking, he was just like, oh my God, oh my God. Like it was like so much. And it was funny because Bert was like, hear the guy out. And then Blaine's like, bet. And he has like a speech, like paragraphs, beautiful paragraphs. I didn't even write it down because I was like crying so much I like couldn't. He's like,
I think that my soul knew something that my body and my mind didn't know yet.
And he's like, we met right here and I took this man's hand and we ran down that hallway. And then he was like, we've been together in every lifetime. Like,
it knew that our hands were meant to hold each other fearlessly and forever, which is why it's never really felt like I've been getting to know you. It's always felt like I was remembering you from something.
I couldn't. So I just started ugly crying. And then Kurt like says yes. And it's a lot. It's a lot. It's truly beautiful. And I know there's a lot of caveats and they're too young and too much has happened and it's cheesy and whatever, but like it meant a lot to me and still does and was really beautifully done, even with all the caveats and the blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know if that is the proposal that Kurt deserved. I don't know if it's what he would have picked, like his first choice necessarily, but it's what he deserves. Someone putting in like that much effort for him. And that really gets me. So,
B, would you like me to read the speech to you?
Oh my God, sure.
Uh-oh.
We met right here.
Oh, God.
I took this man's hand and we ran down that hallway. And for those that know me, I'm not in the habit of taking people's hands I've never met before. But I think that my soul knew something that my mind and body didn't know yet. It knew that our hands were meant to hold each other's fearlessly and forever, which is why it's never really felt like I've been getting to know you. It's always felt like I was remembering you from something. As if every lifetime you and I have lived, we've chosen to come back and find each other and fall in love all over again, over and over, for all eternity. And I just feel so lucky that I found you so soon in this lifetime, because all I want to do, all I've ever wanted to do, is spend my life loving you. V, will you marry me?
Yes. Oh my God.
Like, this is like, you know, he starts like it's talking about soul. Stuff, but it's in this moment where I'm like, fuck, Darren's good at this. Because like
he's
halfway
so
through this,
good at this.
Between, like about halfway through this speech, he just starts to get like he just hits it. He hits that that tenor. He got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just it made me ugly cry. Now will
it
say,
also made Kirk cry because those are some real ass tears in that man's eyes.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Like, regardless of whatever those two feel about each other and their friendship and whatever, or you know, etc. That was a real moment between the two of them, mm-hmm. for fucking sure.
Yes, regardless
and all of
us. What, and all of us. Regardless, imagine standing there and having someone with that face say that to
and
you. Just
those
like,
eyes yes. and that voice. That like, harbor okay. seal.
You're right. I will marry you. Like
when a harbor seal loves someone.
When one harbor seal loves another.
So I don't know if you guys remember this. I have to believe that you do. But somewhere on the internet during this time in fandom, there was a giffer somewhere who took this proposal and intercut all of the different AUs that they could make with footage mm-hmm. from the show.
Mm-hmm.
So like Cheerio Blaine and yep. Skank Kurt and like Bad Boy Blaine and like all of those different AUs. And I still think about that gift set. I still think about it.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
I still think about it. So if you're still, if you're out there, please know the difference that you made in our lives.
I haven't seen that one in a long time. I need to go find that.
I remember the speech too, because it included things that felt so fandom specific, like the in every lifetime.
In every lifetime, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that was something that was so prevalent in fandom and in fanfic that it felt like they took that from us. That they were like, in maybe one of the kinder ways that Glee has ever done, is like, we hear you about mm-hmm. what you think of these characters. Because at least for me, it often feels like Glee goes, we hear you and we don't like it.
Yeah.
But here it felt like we hear what you say. We hear what you're thinking of Kurt and Blaine and we agree.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And it also felt like a callback in the very beginning, the line of, I'm not in the habit of taking people's hands I've never met before. Because when that happened in season two, it was like, what? Is he just grabbing this man's hand and just
like, what for fun?
What is he doing?
Yeah.
So I loved the callback to their first meeting and it being like, at least Blaine is recognizing that he did just take this man off for a run.
Yeah.
Because that is a little weird. But it worked out for him.
It did. And Kurt says yes.
He says yes.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Of course they do. And my heart is yet again on fire for these lovebirds.
Quite the bang to go out on the on season one. Episode one of season five. Do you wonder if this should have been the end of season four? Like, it's an odd, it's just interesting the way the episodes break between the finale of season four and the beginning of season one. Like, it's a big moment to start a season with.
Yeah.
No, I
it's
agree.
Hard. It's weird.
It's weird.
It's hard to like live up to now. Like, okay, now these two are engaged. Like, keep that up. Keep that momentum up now. But yeah, I liked this episode. It's hard not to like
it's this really episode. Hard not to like it, yeah.
When it's so full of clean.
It's so full of these two sweeties.
Yeah. It's nice to get them back together. We know what happens later, but at this point in time, it's like, all right, let's do it. Let's get them together. Let's keep them together. Let's do it. What are we doing here? this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know what? But I can go back and remember in that time when I didn't know any of that future stuff yet. And I was just like, everything is okay with the world and everything was worth it. And season four was terrible and it was worth it. So, because
is
I mean,
it bad that I don't know what happens and I'm still living in this glorious world where they're just engaged and fine?
That's how you should live, Allison. Don't let us lead you astray.
That's absolutely how it happens all the way through the end of season six.
Absolutely.
That's right. No more pain.
You don't know that. You've never seen season six.
That's true.
I will be going along this journey along with the both of you.
Yeah, that's true. Season six.
We'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
We're going to get through it. We're going to make like a game out of it or something. And there's only a few episodes. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, this is very true. I don't know. A plus episode simply for the proposal.
Pretty much.
Right? I mean, honestly. Can't. How do you judge around them singing to each other in the courtyard, the return of the warblers, if only for a few minutes, the proposal, the return of the staircase.
Oh, the staircase.
Obviously, Dalton is its own character in the world of Glee. Happy to see her back. Can't complain.
No.
Even though we have spent an hour and a half complaining.
Always.
Any final thoughts? We had discussed, now that we are starting a new season, if we want to revisit the indices.
Well, I think this is the perfect time to revisit them because it's debatable, and you guys can agree or disagree, but I think we have reached the pinnacle of the indices. I think this is a 5 on the McScale and a 10 on the Klaindex. I think we have maxed them out. I think this is the
end. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Artie had the entire B plot.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
2 songs.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. 2 songs.
And a happy
whole love story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it's a 10 on the Paindex. Well, it's the Klaindex, but.
Klaindex.
No pain.
Yeah,
they're on the
pain. No pain. On just clean.
No pain, all clean.
No pain, all clean. Yes, exactly. So, wow. As I was watching the episode, I'd forgotten about the Artie plot. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wait, this is a rare maxing out of the indices. Wow.
Yeah. You did it. You completed the indices.
Completed the journey of the indices.
You did it, fam.
I'm so glad you were here with us for this moment.
Me too.
Thanks, y'all.
I think we can still pick a favorite song, though, because it is Glee and it is music.
Yes.
B, would you like to go first?
Yes. I'm going to go with Gotta Get You Into My Life. It was fun.
Excellent.
Love the arrangement. Because I know the original song is quite a bit different. So I think Klain did have fun. But Glee had a lot of fun with that one. So
I've got to go with I Saw Her Standing There. She wouldn't dance with another. I think that the 4 of them did a great job, and I'm still a little bit like giggly about the girls and the delightful role that they played.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great song, and it made me super
fans.
Happy.
I watched That Thing You Do yesterday.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of that scene of all the fan, like the 1960s fans kind of dancing and bopping to a band. I gotta go with All You Need Is Love.
Yeah.
If just for Dalton herself being there.
Indeed.
And the nostalgia of everyone. All right. Well, this was a delight.
Yeah. Thanks for being here, Allison. Yay.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys for inviting me. It's always so much fun to come and talk about things and reminisce with y'all. It's so good. And I found that gift set, so I'll send it your way.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Thank you. I need that.
I'm so glad. How did you just go through your tags?
I did.
Excellent.
That's an organized queen.
And it should it should not surprise anyone that I reblogged it as recently as July. I think I was having a hankering.
That's what an organized tagging system is for.
That's right. Yes.
That's what that's for. Okay. Well, this was the beginning of season 5. We're excited you're here. We're excited that we are this far into Glee. We've gotten this far. You can find us all over the internet at Glee. No, at Fandom on the Rocks. You'd think by now, but no. And if you want to support the pod and find all sorts of bonus content where we talk about all sorts of stuff, you can do that at patreon.com/fandomontherocks or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or Spotify, also at Fandom on the Rocks. So thank you for listening, and I guess that is what you missed on Clayne.
You've been listening to Glee on the Rocks, a podcast by OTR Productions. A huge thank you to our sound editor, Adriana, and our podcasts, who secretly run the show. For more episodes, download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Podchaser, and more at Glee on the Rocks. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to our Patreon account at patreon.com/GleeOnTheRocks. Subscribers get ad-free episodes, exclusive mini-episodes deep diving into the fandom, salty opinions, and so much more. So until next time, that's what you miss on Glee.